Hey, friends. There's a few dates in particular coming up, which I'd like to see as many 12 and a half as possible in the next few months. March 15th and 16th, I'll be headlining Laughs Unlimited in Sacramento. April 5th, I'll be at the Last Best Comedy Club in Bozeman, Montana. I'd love it if we could get some 12 and a half in the crowd for those particular dates. And the first week of May, I'll be at the MGM in Las Vegas. Be fun to party with you there. TJ will be in Syracuse February 16th and 17th. Raleigh, North Carolina, the Improv, March 8th and 9th. And if you want more details about his dates, go to tjmillerdoesnothaveawebsite.com. And enjoy the show. Thanks for listening.
This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Answering the questions you don't have. Deep conversations in the shallow end. Two men with lots of ideas and less than an hour. Intelligent-ish. This is Cashing In with TJ Miller.
Welcome to Cashing In with TJ Miller. My name is Cash Levy, and oh my God, I'm really excited to just bring you a hot, spicy, tasty, buttery pod. I'm excited. As you remember, the conclusion of last episode, TJ Miller was sucked inside my phone. He was trapped there. My only choice was to forward him to a new device. And the problem is, you know, I don't remember where I forwarded him to, so I'm not sure where he is. I checked my inbox, my Tinder box. He wasn't there. I checked LinkedIn, but he had linked out already. You know what I'm talking about. Technophiles, you know what I'm talking about. Ladies, take a break. I checked Pinterest, but evidently he had no interest. Okay, guys, there's where this came from. Try the veal. I checked Google Plus, Google Minus, Instagram, Tagged, Flickr, Vine, Scout, Badoo, Habu, Ebibu, Black Planet. That's a fun site. Zorpio, Ning, Flickster, MeetMe, Classmates, Tumblr. Maybe I have too many social media accounts. I don't know. And I don't know. I eventually tried FarmersOnly.com, and he had just been there, but then he left. And then NonFarmers.com and also FarmersOccasionally.com. So we... I don't know where he is, but I'm just, you know what I'm going to do now? I just got a 3D printer, and I'm going to print something up, and we're going to smoke weed together. It's a 3D bong, and I'm going to print it out right now. There it is. It's making it. I can see the, wait a second. What the, who the, where the, TJ?
Ding.
TJ?
Boink, boink.
T, what, how?
Why am I nude?
Well, I guess that's the way they print people out these days.
Oh my God,
my 3D printer. What happened to your face?
I am completely... Hold on. Let me put on this robe.
What?
What's happening? Where am I?
You're at my house. I have a 3D printer now. This is my 3D printer room.
You printed me?
Notice the padded walls, just in case.
You printed me?
I did print you.
Well, I did do that.
I did print that. Not ideal.
Now, you know what?
Not ideal.
This is the last time I'm getting fucking printed. Do you know how many times I've escaped into a phone and been printed on a 3D printer?
No, how many times?
This is the first, but God damn it!
It doesn't feel good, does
how
it?
How could you do this to me?
Kind of hurts your spirit a little
well,
bit.
Well, at least I'm here. Here I am.
Oh, my God.
3D printed. Why are my arms and legs made of such a strange, fiber composite helix plastic material.
Well, they only have, you know, they only have so many options in there to try to reproduce your weird sort of spaghetti arms, you know? What are those staples? You better pull those off, the staples.
Great. Oh, and now I'm noticing it just finished making my dick.
It's weird. It's still working on you.
I had a Prince Albert.
Yeah. I mean, for those of you watching at home, I know this must be shocking. A lot of people watch the show. Other people read it.
It's a cock ring that goes on your urethra.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Is that what it is?
I think so.
You better pull those staples out, buddy. That's kind of gross.
Sorry, that's just... I was drunk when I was 19.
I was worried about you. It's been
Mexico,
a couple weeks.
And I had a mustache tattooed on the inside of my D. That's what that final 3D printing noise was the final addition to make my penis almost identical to the original involved a tiny mustache.
Yeah.
Under the head of the penis.
You're the kind of guy that you're the kind of guy who when he gets
Was circumcised.
Yeah. Well, listen, you're the kind of guy when he gets excited.
Not ideal.
Not ideal.
Rule number one. How do I know you're TJ Miller?
Rule number two. What are rules?
You're the kind of guy who, when you get excited, your dick blows out the back of your asshole. That's what I've heard.
It finds its way back.
Is that a vicious rumor?
It crawls up the leg. Vicious, no. Truthful, yes. A lot of vicious rumors attack other lesser rumors and kill them.
Yeah. They're like, you know, rumors are like viruses, you know?
Viruses are like parasites, and parasites are like...
I'm so excited to see you. I've been looking for you for 2 weeks. We had to do a worst of episode last week, just because you disappeared. It took me 2 weeks. You floated around. You got on that farmer's...
printer just printed two more knees for me.
Yeah.
What, am I supposed to have double jointed legs?
Yeah, those are called arm elbows.
Yeah, double arm...
No, leg elbows. Leg elbows.
Double leg elbows.
Double leg elbows.
That's intriguing. All right, keep going.
It's a tough one. It's a tongue twister.
It's a tundra twister.
Yeah, it's not easy to say, and I'll probably never attempt to say it twice. I'm so excited to see you. I really am. It's been two weeks. I've been looking around. I saw you were on the Farmers Only website. How'd you do?
On Farmers occasionally, and I met a couple occasional farmers. They do a little farming here and there.
Yeah.
One woman.
And someone tweeted.
She looked like the side of a fucking cow.
Yeah, which is what it's
for. I fell in love,
which
obviously.
Which is what it's for.
I mean,
for.
She...
You're a kind of guy that likes to French kiss a horse. So this wasn't a big leap for you.
She had ankles like a cow, feet like hooves, and a neck like a goddamn cow. I fell in love with her for months. I was courting her, sending her flowers, pictures.
Right in your barn house, as they like to say. It was right in your barn house.
You know what?
Not your wheelhouse, your barn house.
It got to a point where I sort of, we were sort of back and forth, and I was following her on Instagram. And anyway, we were together, and she said, hey... Your barn door is open, meaning that my zipper was down.
Yeah.
I ejaculated.
A timeless joke, yeah.
I ejaculated right then and there. Sorry, come on in. Sorry, my doctor is here. Come on in.
I think we have a special delivery. They're delivering different stuff.
Rick?
They're delivering different things here.
Rick came here. I actually had a portrait of the cow. It ended up, she was actually a cow.
Yeah.
The profile pictures that she had put up were of a cow.
Yeah.
Long story short, I dated her for 2.5 months before realizing that...
Long story short, she's my mother. Folks!
Not even that. No. She was the side of a cow.
Mm-hmm.
So I, this is a story I really only told my family. I tried and ultimately failed.
Yeah.
To have intercourse and have a child with the side of a cow.
Just the side.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not a proud moment.
It's
not
ideal.
Not ideal. Not ideal. You know what? We're in the middle of a tasty, hot, spicy, buttery pod from last time, and you were forwarded around. I got a lot of things I want to talk to you about. Do you want to start this episode off with a triple banger lightning round? Because I think we have one triple banger left to do, and then we're going to get into the where were you. This one was actually sent to me. It's just, I loved it. I had to rephrase it a bit, but I like it. Slapping Puppets, the new high five.
If
that was sent to me by Sister Mary Fake.
I like that. If there is a...
it is. You're high-fiving. Yeah, you high-five. World, you slap a puppet, you could just say, I was trying to give you a high-five.
You got
to
get
take all, that puppet out of your hand you and give get, me a... Give me a high five.
You got to get all your friends to have puppets then. See, that's the, this is the expensive part of it is you don't want, I don't know. I've had a couple awkward situations where I had to tell all my friends, I need you to buy puppets.
Mm-hmm. You ever give a
hug? Not ideal.
Yeah. Well, I, you know, if
what do you think? You think it's the new high five?
I think if you high five someone with a puppet, you know, you're slapping the puppet.
When you say, give me some skin, and you do a traditional high five.
Yeah.
There's no way of getting a felt domestic abuse charge.
Right, that's true.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to welcome you to one of the greatest puppet comedy shows, this side of Puppetry of the Penis.
Have you ever high-fived someone with a oven mitt on?
No,
you need the slap. You need the slapping sound to do a good high five. You can't. It doesn't work as well. I think high fiving with gloves on is a terrible experience. Mm-hmm. It's like sex with a condom. Not worth doing. Not worth it. You ever have sex with an oven mitt on your penis?
I've never done it, but I.
Not ideal. It doesn't work for pregnancy or pleasure. Neither. It's a lose-lose situation.
I shit blasted a Mormon.
Okay, we know that about you.
So, and that made the sound of a puppet being slapped.
Yeah.
And I guess I don't usually care about this, but I did want to say to that Mormon that afternoon, Saturday, February 23rd, 2009. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry if you listen to the podcast.
That was big of you.
Which I don't know. That you would listen to the podcast, yeah. But if
I
you
I
did,
don't know how many Mormon listeners we get out of the 12 and a half.
I'm sorry, I shit blasted you.
Yeah, that's big of you, and that's what the show's for sometimes.
The sound was like a puppet was being slapped by the reflection of his own true self. What a night.
That's a Nietzsche quote, isn't it?
I don't think so.
No. Yeah, no, he has a book about puppets.
Oh, the puppet.
Yeah. We're gonna keep things going now with the section we like to call "Where Were You?" Now, I understand that you were at the Academy Awards. They call that the Oscars, and you won a Stanley Cup. They didn't have any Oscars around.
It is so weird. So I was in.
Because did you get to drink from the Oscar? Can you drink from it?
I didn't drink. You can pour alcohol on it, but it just spills onto the ground.
Okay.
It was so weird. It was beyond bizarre. I got to go to the Oscars
from the silver chalice they like to call the Oscar.
It's. I think it's gold. I don't know.
It's a cup, right?
I drank from a
what did it look
silver
like?
Chastity belt. Fellas, take a break, ladies. This was a terrible sort of misogynistic initiative that kept women as chattel and not as individual human beings with freedoms.
I got a very sincere
I drink from the chastity belt as a remembrance to how fucked up that was.
I got a very sincere tweet. Tweet.
I think you almost said queef.
I almost did. I'll admit that one. But
have you ever gotten a sincere queef?
I have not. Usually they're more of an angry.
You had sarcastic one?
A sarcastic queef, an angry queef.
That's sort of sarcastic.
Right. But I got a very sincere tweet, and it said, I mean, when should the ladies stop taking a break? Like, do they need to be released from their break? And that's a good question. Anyway.
I got a very sincere queef.
Yeah.
2.5 weeks ago, and I just... I was sitting there.
Did it come in the mail, or was that the personal?
No, I was in the nude, and she turned to me. I mean, not her lower torso. She was reading, and she turned to me, and I just very sincerely she queefed. She. And
let me show you.
Okay, I was so happy. I was so relieved, and I felt so connected to her in that moment that I farted right out of the front of my dick.
It's not an easy thing to do. You have to actually train for that. It takes 3 weeks.
It cost me $3,000
to fart from your penis. It's not easy. It costs a lot. You have to be trained and certified. Don't try farting from your penis.
The old urethra queef.
You know, things were different back then. We used to fart from our penises.
It was a totally different time.
Yeah, you didn't need to be trained to do it. You didn't need any kind of certification to fart from your penis.
You didn't live in the carriage house of an ugly old woman.
I remember my grandpappy giving me a spoonful of whiskey and saying, "I like it, and I think you're going to like it." And then he farted from his penis. Things were different back then.
It blew my goddamn bob cut right out of my face.
Right out of my face, yep. This, by the way, is one of my least favorite thing about any radio, is when people go like this.
I think there's a, you know.
And that's, for me, that's too much comfort on the air. I don't like the radio guys.
Well, you're wrong. I've been doing this for years. So what I'll do is I'll walk up to a boss at a law firm or Radio Shack, and I'll have my coffee on a Monday maybe, and I go kind of like, "So, did you, well, this weekend, did you end?" Ladies and gentlemen, Cash really did just spit.
The spit take on the radio. The spit
real,
take.
Real. I had this very slow build to what the punchline was going
to
be.
It was funny before that. It's funny to hang out with you sometimes.
T was going to be the punchline, but without that build, I understand.
You know, the spit take isn't as funny when you're chewing tobacco at the time. Have you noticed that? Not ideal.
What about the
not ideal?
What about the spittoon take?
The spittoon take, where you laugh so hard you got to hit your spittoon.
Yeah. But that's
in the Wild West. When I used to do comedy, things were different back then. When I used to do comedy in the Wild West, people would do the spittoon take, and it was like you would just hear that high pitched sound with hundreds of spittoons being filled with people's pleasure, basically.
The
pleasure of my comedy.
In the early 1800s, a lot of Colombian women used to do the masticated cocaina leaf spit take.
Yeah.
And that was frantic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they would chew cocaina leaves, they'd lose their mind, spit, and it wasn't funny. It actually led to a revolution.
That
it pointed towards a democratic government, but that never actually was actualized. So it's not the funniest ending to a story.
It's okay.
But for me,
I already burned my spit.
To
anyway.
Me, it was a sincere queef.
Listen, buddy, I enjoy your comedy, and I'm just going to come right out and ask you, would you be willing to go on my People with Birthdays tour? I'm putting together a team of comedians that all have birthdays.
A lot of people don't know this about me, but I don't have a birthday.
Oh, interesting.
For years, I've realized that I'm not celebrating a birthday.
You're different than most people. You don't have a birthday.
I said to Kate, I said, How am I supposed to have a birthday cake if I don't have a birthday?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll never forget. She turned to me. I thought she was turning to me, but she turned towards a plant that was next to me and said, "Looks like you need a little water." And that's the last we ever talked of that.
Yeah, you threw me for a loop on that story. I didn't think that's where it was going.
A different one? Yeah.
I thought there'd be some kind of penis fart.
No, it wasn't a fern. It was it was like a palm tree.
You went classy on that one.
Yeah, I went really. I went up high. I do the highbrow, the lowbrow, and
you go all over it.
Really, not worth listening.
That's
to
why
brow.
You're fine. You're the sacred and the profane. You're everything. You had sex with a cow earlier, and now you have a classy fern joke.
I did not.
It's
the side
of a cow.
I ejaculated. A cow's ankles.
Okay. Just to specify. Listen, People with Birthdays tour. I saw a poster, and I think it was tongue-in-cheek, but there's a tour called the Mike's Tour. It's just people named Mike. I'm serious. Really? Yes, four comedians named Mike. And I don't know what the tour is, and it might be really great. They might be really funny. But I don't know if that's enough to draw. I don't know.
I did a Mike's Tour.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay. I think if your name is Mike, that's not enough for people to have in common. That's all I'm saying.
I fudged.
Yeah, you said you're Mike to get on that tour?
My name
is TJ. We can claim you have a birthday and come on my tour.
My name was TJ.
People with birthdays tour. It's going to be like the original Kings of Comedy.
Again. I'll never do it again.
It's going to be like the original Kings of Comedy. It's just people with birthdays. It's a lot.
I told people.
Because everyone has that. Everyone's going to be like, I have a birthday. I'm going to go to that show.
I told people I was a Mike.
Mm-hmm.
And
every week, every show, they're going to bring a cake, sing us happy birthday. We're going to act like it's our birthday each time. They're going to give us gifts. It's great.
When is this?
Pretty smart.
It's going to be?
It's going to be every night.
For the rest of the year?
For the rest of our lives.
I can't do that.
Can't free up that kind of time.
I can't. Yeah.
Some people.
Real time commitment.
Yeah. It's a bit time consuming.
You know, in fact, that may be the biggest time commitment I've ever heard of.
A lot of people aren't willing to commit.
Is actually.
But you know what? No
performing
guts.
Performing every night for the
rest of
time.
Your life. No guts, no glory. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. I really don't.
If you're not man enough to do my birthday tour, fine. That's okay.
That's not at all what it is.
Yeah, it requires a little bit of commitment. I'm asking for a little bit of commitment.
I'm not doing that. I'm actually...
You're not willing to put your life on hold?
I can't. In July 2017, I'm doing a tour called the Piss Till You Shit Tour.
Ooh.
And it's just what it sounds like.
I've heard that's a visual tapestry that you weave there.
A lot of visual gags
where you piss till you shit.
It's not a great tour.
I've told
family not to come. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's not ideal.
No.
People have to bring tarps, and it's an interactive show.
It's like if Gallagher really wasn't funny.
The Piss Till You Shit Tour. And the beauty of that tour is you can do it every night. You know, you don't have to act like it's your birthday. Everyone needs to piss till they shit at least once a day.
You know, this was such a bad idea.
Yeah,
I've already booked the tour, and this is right after the Dick Flap Tour of 2006. I know you're laughing. I did too. I have to look back on it.
How many different ways can
the
you?
The Dick Flap Tour of 2006.
What was that?
It
what
was
that,
awful.
What did that entail, my old friend? I didn't hear about that.
I didn't even do comedy. It was just
the old Dick Flap Tour.
It was a dick flapping extravaganza.
What did you do? What was that all about?
Well, I had a bunch of. You know, early Eli Golding music on, and I would just flap my dick around. Yeah. And you know what? It was 2006. It was a different time.
It was a visual tapestry.
It was a labyrinth of the senses. It was a different time. We'd tell raccoons to take a dump in coffee mugs and give them to dead homeless people. It was a different time. It was 2006.
The old dick flapping disaster, you know? It was a debacle.
2006.
The dick flapping debacle.
A lot of
2006.
A lot of people think the defining sort of event in 2008 was the collapse of the housing mortgage industry. It was not.
I'm putting my drink down.
You literally aren't drinking because you're for fear of what I'm going to say. It was not.
Indeed, that's not what it was.
I'll tell you later.
Yeah.
But there was something quite. Something
even more.
More
profoundly
paramount to American culture,
profoundly important to the history.
2008 was the year of. I'll tell you later.
We'll talk. You know what? That's a little cliffhanger for the end of the show. Did you meet Oscar himself? I heard everyone gets to meet Oscar.
Well, we talked about this. So if you win an Oscar, which the film that I was in did, Disney Big Hero 6, and it was so surreal.
Yeah,
the whole thing. I'm in the middle of a men's bathroom talking to Morgan Spurlock. You know, we were literally
memorable
in the back seats.
Memorable.
We were literally
notes.
In the back seats.
Yeah.
We compared notes. He said, apparently urinals are mm-hmm. a technique of the Republican Conservative Party mm-hmm. to make liberal dicks look smaller.
You know, interesting. Interesting.
So that was the whole thing. But we were actually in the very back row.
I don't prefer urinals. More of an acquired taste. I prefer the sink.
Nothing
I like better than seeing a man pee in a sink. I think that shows gusto. Gusto.
I put equal amounts of water and soap into the basin.
I saw the groom. I was at a wedding once in Chicago, and I saw the groom peeing in the sink. Like literally an hour after he had married.
Yeah.
That is, and I had admiration for him.
Would she have gone back and
I
said
told,
no?
I told April, it's one of April's best friends, but I told April, and April was like, that's par for the course with him. I mean, he enjoyed, he was peeing, and it was actually he was peeing in the sink, and there was another guy doing it too, one of his friends. It was a sword fight, as they like to call it back in the day.
They were
Sink.
They were crossing streams.
Let me just say something. Let me just say something to you. The urinals were available. So the choice was to go in the sink. There were more than enough urinals.
He was trying to assert his independence and freedom.
You know what he said inspired him to do it? The 2006 dick flapping tour.
That was a big part of it. Morgan Spurlock, I was going to urinate in the sink, okay. But instead I looked him directly in the eyes because mm-hmm. I do respect him. I like mm-hmm. his show. I think he's done a lot.
Do you go both eyes or just to the left or the right?
I went straight in. No, each eye to eye. I looked at him and I said,
looked him straight in the ear because that's where he listens from.
And I said,
why don't people say that? Go on.
Straight to the ear.
Spicy pod right now.
I looked him right in the ear and I said, your shoes are a sink. I pissed all over him.
So now on this episode,
what a guy. He was fine with it.
He went with it.
He went with it. It was so surreal. The whole thing was ridiculous. Yeah. And we really were in the back row, which was nice. Because you can stand up if you want to.
That's the best row. I'd rather be in the back row than somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
Because you can have fun back there.
And we really
bleacher
did.
Seats.
It was very fun.
If you're a sports fan, so they call those bleacher seats.
We won. Right. It's the nosebleed section. Mm-hmm. We won. And when we won, we couldn't believe it. And then it was so funny. The whole cast right afterwards just went out to the bar and just got wrecked. I mean, mm-hmm. and then mm-hmm. I had a very awkward conversation. I didn't want to bring this up. Mm-hmm. Because I am in Big Hero 6 and How to Train Your Dragon 2.
Right.
And when it was announced, we went outside to sort of celebrate just mm-hmm. in the lobby. Mm-hmm. And two women came up and started talking to me. And it was Dean DuBois' mother and his sister. And he wrote, directed, and designed How to Train Your Dragon 2. So it was interesting because everybody from Big Hero 6 was partying and they're taking pictures. And I had to sort of say, hold on. They go, hey, come be in this picture. Hold on. And I was talking, you know, to these women who had probably for months been thinking about, you know, Dean DuBois. He had gotten a Golden Globe, but what's his Oscar speech going to be? And then mm-hmm. that wasn't the case. It was very fascinating. I'm very fortunate and grateful to be in such a bizarre position. But it was weird because you have to console. And Kate and I went to we went to the Elton John after party. We went to something else. But she said that the attitude and the energy there wasn't great. And it's true because most people lose. 80% of the people there all lose. And they feel like losers. They feel like somebody was shorted. Somebody else, a friend of theirs, a family member.
That's interesting. I never thought about that.
And, you know, I say that, but I think so that's a bizarre aspect of it.
Yeah. No, and I'll be honest. I make fun of awards ceremonies.
You have for years.
I do. Yeah. I make fun of awards. But I can see where you went to
a Pee Wee Football League, and they were giving out awards, and you walked up and said, you little dump trucks.
Yeah. Yeah.
In 2004.
Yeah. That's
you know what that sound means? You all are tiny little piece of shit football players. Do you remember that? He said all that.
I want to tell you just a quick story. I want to go back to talking about the Oscars too, but I just wanted to tell you one quick story of something that happened the other night to me. My wife and I was gone for Valentine's Day, so I decided, I think you'll like this, so I decided to take her out. And I really wanted it to be special. Our grandparents are in town, or her grandparents, or her parents, the kids' grandparents. So
you don't even know.
We're going to go out.
Our uncle, two people that are.
We're going to go out, and we're going to. It's our only night, besides the World Series, that we've been away from both kids alone on a date all night. We're going to stay overnight. So I'm going to do it upright, okay? So I get tickets to one of her favorite artists, Annie DeFranco, downtown. And I book the hotel, the Standard, downtown hotel.
That's
the
big hotel. It's a nice
and
hotel.
It's supposed to have one of the top, you know, it's a wonderful hotel. And TJ is just checking something here. How about we got about that's all we got right there. You want to do this? You want to just
why are you interrupting when you're talking?
Well, it's a little distracting when a donkey comes into the room.
There's no donkey. And you call my wife Turban a donkey again.
Some of your housewives.
I'm going to shit on the edge of the car.
So I decide, you know, this is a really exciting night, right? It's we haven't had a night together except for the World Series. Mm-hmm. I want this. This is the year of the relationship for us, and I want
Which
it
I
to
love.
Be perfect.
Explain that again, though.
Yeah, it's. I've decided, you know, it's our 10-year anniversary that we've been married, I really want this to be the best year of our relationship. And you say, I have all these goals. Each year, each person has goals, but rarely are those goals about relationships. They're always about achieving some
zenith of feminism.
Something involved with your career or your physical prowess, your weight loss, something like that. Right. But what about relationships? How about this be the best year of your relationship, right? You have some control over that. It has been so far. This was going to be the pinnacle of it. Standard Hotel, right? Annie DeFranco, the whole thing's a surprise. We're getting in the car. She's out she's getting ready. She's bringing her suitcase down. I call the Standard. I'm like, hey, so the pool, is it supposed to be one of the top 10 pools in America? Because
it's on top. You can see.
We both like to swim. So I'm thinking, we'll swim. We'll go downstairs and maybe make love or something.
Maybe fart out
if I'm lucky, maybe fart out of our maybe I'll fart out of my penis. Then we'll go to Annie DeFranco. Then afterwards, we'll swim on top of the pool. You know, on top of the building again. It's a rooftop pool, and then it'll be art imitating swimming. Okay.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So they go, oh, yeah. So I call them, like, is the pool open till like midnight or how late is it open? They're like, yeah, the pool's closed. And I'm like, no, the pool is why I did this. You know, and they're like, well, sorry, sir. And, you know, I made this reservation like a month ago. And I was like, yeah, I'm not doing the hotel. I'm not, you know, it was about the pool. You know, we like to. It was a 73-degree day. We're leaving at 1 p.m. We want to swim. You know, we wanted to use the pool. And they're like, "I'm sorry, sir. You already made a reservation. It's not about reserving the pool. It's the hotel." I'm like, "Yeah, but the pool." I'm getting angry right away. I'm like, "The pool is." Sunset Magazine said the pool was one of the top 10 in the country.
You're worse than Hitler.
Yeah, and I go. What am I going to do? Is it drain? Am I going to skateboard inside of it? What am I going to do at your hotel if the pool? I'll get a place where there is a pool. And I was, you know. They're like, well, I don't think I can help you. I'm like, look, here's the situation. I'm going to ruin one of your hotel rooms. I'm telling you that right now. You can let me out of this. I'm like, I will shit blast.
Yep.
One of your entire hotel.
I'll treat your hotel room like a Quaker.
So they let me out of the deal. Okay.
Really?
They let me out. We get another hotel. Had a wonderful time. We had dinner. We're walking over to the show, and Annie DeFranco is here next month on the same day.
No.
Because it's February. It's still going to be a Wednesday. It was a month early. We went to see her a month early. Yeah. So both things fell apart. And I got to say, it still was a great day.
It was great.
We laughed about it almost immediately. It was like, you know what?
Yeah, but that's a tough trouble.
Because after the
hotel, she's going, all right, well, we got Annie DeFranco, and then you didn't.
Yeah. It was when I saw it and the lights were off
at
the theater.
Are you going to go next? Are you going to go?
Yeah. Yeah. You're babysitting, by the way.
I'm so excited.
Yeah.
I only look after when I babysit. I look after the godson.
But we did go see a movie instead and really enjoyed it. The Kingsman, enjoyed that. Yeah.
Never mind.
Yeah. Pretty amazing.
Fun.
Anyway, that was one thing that happened. So go on.
Just that Oscars, was bizarre. It was weird. We really had a good time. We tried. You know, it's so weird. You you wonder all the time what it's going to be like. I bought a tuxedo yesterday.
You bought one. Excited. You bought
yeah,
one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well,
I didn't think there was enough velvet
in the world
for you to buy a tuxedo.
No, it was.
You're a very large man. It was. You're tall.
It was so much more silk than I could have imagined.
Yeah.
But I bought a silk tuxedo, and you know, you don't know how many times you're going to go to that particular thing, and I
went particular to event. Yeah.
I wanted to party more, but I sort of had partied so much, and then Kate showed up.
But you snuck in, right?
I didn't. No. I was going to sneak into the variety party, mm-hmm. and Kate was dressed to the nines with mm-hmm. a dress by Johanna Johnson. Her Instagram, Rose Petal Pistol, will show you a lot of fun aspects of that night. But we really went for it. I just think I got too. I didn't think we were going to win. I really didn't.
Really?
That was amazing.
So you were pretty excited. It was genuine.
Yeah. I was really excited.
Yeah.
And it's a great film, and it affects sort of youth generation culture, and it does some pretty amazing
things. Yeah, I liked How to Train Your Dragon 2.
You have really low standards, though, and bad taste.
In addition, yeah. I think both those movies were good.
You're right.
Very good.
Yeah.
Despite some of the people doing the voiceover work. I mean, how do they find those fucking people?
Yeah.
But
they found me outside in an alley.
Jesus
crying.
Christ. Mr. Mucus on there. I don't know why that was. Anyway. What else do we I ran into somebody at someone was came up and whispered. I was riffing with him while I was on stage. It was in Sacramento, and mm-hmm. and he was wearing a kilt to my show.
Wow!
And I was kind of joking with him while I was on stage. I think it's great, a kilt. Yeah. I think it's comfortable. It was a nice warm night in Sacramento. I think more people should be wearing kilts out in public.
I think it's a good thing.
And I also don't understand why more men don't wear kimonos out on the town. Comfortable.
Silk. I'm down a silk wearing robe. A kimono, yeah.
How about a silk tuxedo?
How about just a
what do you
robe?
Think?
Why can't we... What, Hugh Hefner is the only person that's allowed to just wear a robe out? Can't you just...
We've talked
robe
about this once on another episode, that robes make you feel really bad about yourself pretty quick. Me.
Really?
I feel slovenly in a robe.
What about a terry cloth turban?
Hmm. I like that idea. Yeah, well, you know, this guy comes up after the show, and he...
I don't know that you love that idea. It felt
a terry
like
cloth
sort of
turban.
Took that in, yeah. Said, oh, yeah, that's great.
So I thought they were sort of made out of terry cloth sometimes.
They're not. I'm talking about sort of like a robe, like a robe-like
robe
turban.
Show. Okay. Yeah. Maybe that would dress a robe up, because I've never seen anybody in a robe where I'm like, that person looked better in a robe.
You ever seen someone in a robe and a long tie?
The robe and where you dress up a robe by putting a tie on.
Really long tie though, down to the ankles.
I'd like to see you do that. You know, if you come on this birthday tour, you can do anything you want. Say it's my birthday. That's a great thing about your birthday. You can just go, it's my birthday. I can do whatever the fuck I want.
No one can commit to every single night for the rest of
the time. A lot of people are real assholes on their birthday. You could really develop a big ego if every night everyone thinks it's your birthday.
So you're saying...
Because haven't you ever said that on your birthday? It's my birthday. I can do whatever the fuck I want. Well, have you ever said that?
So the two
through a loudspeaker or megaphone?
I
do that. I'll get on a rooftop and say that.
But
it's in my nature.
Are you telling me that the tour tells everyone that it's everybody's birthday every night?
Yeah. I mean, only the 12 and a half will know that the whole thing's a sham. We could combine it with the dick flapping.
It's not a sham. It's just a disaster.
We could combine it. We could. Anyway, I want to tell you one more thing about the whole incident. The guy comes up in the kilt, and he whispers. He goes, because everyone else whispers when they do that. He goes like, I'm in the 12 and a half. Yeah,
I love that.
One of 12 and a half wears a kilt.
So
I love
cool.
it. I felt so happy. His name was James. It
I
was
met
great.
Someone at the Oscars said, hey, I know you're part of the 12 and a half. I love that.
Who was that? Was that Oscar?
No, it was a gentleman that was helping people go outside to smoke.
You said you found something out. If you win, you find something out about Oscar?
You do. You think, oh, you get an Oscar if you win. You don't. They tell you that actually Mr. Oscar is dead.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a real bummer.
It's a little bit of
it's
a...
It's
not ideal.
Not ideal.
It's that would be a bummer. I mean, when did Oscar die?
Apparently 2006 from a dick flapping incident.
We're gonna we're gonna have to, god darn it, we're gonna have to do, should we do another to be continued? We're gonna have to. I'm gonna have to put you back in the printer. Yeah,
but do you have any maskers?
I'm gonna do a maskers right here. We have so many good maskers that we gotta do some masker episodes because
thank you everyone for sitting down in a cross-legged position and thanking the ceiling for having fans. You really, really, it means a lot to us that you mask it.
And by the way, we've got some dates coming up. We're going to do, well, I know we're both, I'm going to be in Utah the 6th and 7th.
Some of you are at Wise Guys.
Chicago the following week.
Quakers in May and June.
Yeah.
Both of us are going to go on tour.
We're going to do a few dates together. We're going to do a few dates. So we'll announce that. We're going to erect a billboard. It's actually happening. Seriously.
What?
We're going to erect a billboard. Not messing around.
Comes out April 12th.
I need that.
That's true.
I need that in my life.
We're going to start a Kickstarter for the billboard.
Yeah. Adam Nicolitz, who's a friend of the show, he writes, are chicken wings the grossest thing to eat in front of people at a restaurant? I don't think so. I think, have we done this question? I think other people. I think if you eat other people at a restaurant, I think cannibalism.
It's more awkward to eat the tablecloth, I think, even.
If you eat another people, a lot of people are against cannibalism.
If it was real food, I think it's really awkward to eat a whole onion. Just by weird.
I think a big chunk of tar seems kind of. But if you eat another person, I think people are too hard on cannibals, and I'm just going to say that. I'm going to come out and say that. Now let me just say something.
Dick full of air, and it makes a little.
I'm serious about this. I don't understand why people are so against cannibalism, and yet cannibalism is as bad as murder. I mean, at least you're eating. At least you're hungry. That's a human thing. You know, some cannibals needed to do that.
Why does consumption make something better? I mean, for instance, if you killed Hitler,
mm-hmm.
everyone would agree with you on that. But if you kill and ate him, even at parties where they're sort of excited that you're there, they'll be like, but why'd you eat him?
Yeah. Yeah. This is apropos. Peter Demas writes, I don't trust a lawyer who wears oven mitts while he represents me in court. Peter, what are you in trouble for? What exactly did you do where you got a lawyer?
Did you burn the turkey? Is an old expression.
What exactly?
About burning the turkey.
Peter, don't high-five your lawyer, all right? It's like sex with a condom.
Peter, if your lawyer...
Put a puppet on your
lawyer is wearing oven mitts, Peter, then this legal scheme may be half-baked.
Don't have the greatest lawyer. If your lawyer had a season pass to the Dick Flap Tour from 2006, you maybe should get a different lawyer.
If your lawyer's wearing oven mittens... It's going to be pretty hard for him to throw up the peace sign to the judge when he rests his case. Not ideal.
If you see your lawyer peeing in the sink during your trial, and that sink is on the desk in front of the judge, that's not an ideal lawyer. No.
If your lawyer's dick farts, you've got a good lawyer.
If your lawyer, while he's talking, makes this noise. Not a good lawyer. Not a good lawyer.
However, if your lawyer makes this noise. That's a good lawyer.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.